Even when he was as young as 3, James Finney Boylan felt that he was living in the wrong body. But it wasn't until he was 40 that Boylan decided he had to do something about it. He was tired of feeling, as he put it, like a chalk painting dissolving in rain. So, James Finney Boylan had gender reassignment surgery and became Jennifer Finney Boylan. Boylan's written a memoir about her life. It's called She's Not There, A Life in Two Genders. Before the surgery, Boylan led a very productive life as James Finney Boylan. He was a critically acclaimed novelist, a popular professor, a loving husband and father.
It was a fine life, and continues to be a fine life. You have to understand that most of the things that were good about my life before, I've managed to keep. This is not, you know, a vast change of personality, although some of my friends kind of hoped there'd be some improvement. But for the most part, it's not about masculinity or femininity. It's about maleness and femaleness, which is to say that the thing that I did not have was a sense of being at home, at peace in my own body. And I have to say that if you're a person who is not a transsexual, if you're not transgendered, that just sounds crazy. The main thing that you need in order to understand this is a sense of imagination. I'm asking you to understand that something for me and for other people like me could be an all-encompassing, life-stopping problem when that problem for most other people is almost inconceivable. It's not even on the list of things that you've ever worried about. What sex am I? For most people, if you are not transgendered, you are free from thinking about these things in the same way that white people in this country are generally free from having to think about what race they are. But if you were a transgendered person, you would think about it all the time. You'd think about it every day.
I mean, this question for you. Are you, and I'm talking about now, do you still consider yourself a transgendered person? I mean, you've had the surgery. Yeah. You've made the adjustment. Are you now?
That's a really good question, isn't it? I mean, in some ways, it gets right to the philosophical question of what is a man or a woman. In my own case, I would say I consider myself a woman. I don't consider myself transgendered anymore. But I also recognize that as a woman, my experience is different from that of other women. I mean, I do know lots of women, transgender women, who would say, you know, no, I'm just the same as any other girl. This absolutely the same. But in fact, that's not really true, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, so what is the question of? I've been to several doctors who did not know and could not tell. I mean, the surgery is very good for people like me.
Right.
But what is the answer? The answer is history. History as a girl is what I don't have that other women my age do have. And history is not visible, but on the other hand, it's not nothing.
Yeah. Well, in some ways, the answer is you're the same person that you've always been. You just have a different physical structure. Right.
Yes, same monkeys, different barrel.
Right. Well, one of the reasons that you seem to have been able to do this so successfully is your family has been supportive of you. And that's a long and complicated story in a way, because you met and fell in love with Grace, your wife.
Yeah. People often tell me they think that Grace is, you know, a saint or a superhero, and she is pretty wonderful, I'll give you that. But I also would say that wouldn't we expect anyone that we love and who loves us to try to see us through whatever life may bring? You know, Grace is a social worker and not a stranger to some of these issues. But when I fell in love with her, I did think that what I'd always hoped for had come to pass, which is that love would cure me. Love had cured me at last. And when we fell in love and got married, I really did think, finally, it's over. Finally, I can just be a guy like anybody else, you know. And that might sound crazy, but in fact, it's something that's very typical of transsexual people, that they seek to cure themselves through the experience of love. And you know what? That's not just transgendered people either. Everybody does that, don't we? Don't we look to the people that we fall in love with to bring us out of ourselves, to make us better people?
I think it's true. And you did, to some extent, succeed in that. For several years after that, you married, you fell in love, you stayed in love, you had children.
Yeah, and yet it was pretty early on in the marriage that I realized that the feelings of being transgendered really weren't gone, and that it was, in fact, now I had two problems, one of which was being transsexual, which was stupid enough, but then the additional problem of having a secret from the person that I love and trust most. And in some ways, going from male to female is easy. Going from a person who has a secret to a person who doesn't have a secret, that's the complicated part.
Yeah.
How do you tell the person that you love something that is this fundamental about yourself?
So answer the question. How do you tell someone
you
love?
I don't think that I'm a good example, because although what I did was I told Grace the truth in tiny, cowardly little bits. In other words, it wasn't like one day I came home and I said, you know, I'm changing my name to Tiffany Chenille, and by the way, can I borrow that, you know, that Laura Ashley? It was more like I said to her, you know, I've got some gender issues here and I'm feeling confused and I'd like to get back into therapy. And she said, well, that's good. You should get into therapy. That's fine. And then what I was hoping is that I could maybe cross-dress with her knowledge, and that at least I wouldn't have that as a secret. But, you know, cross-dressing never was very satisfying for me. It seemed creepy. And for me, it was never about clothes anyhow. You know, you use these kind of external cues that you have to mirror the thing that you feel inside. But, you know, it's really not about rayon. It's about peace within a soul and a body. So I told her, as I took each step forward, I'd say, well, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do that? And so, in fact, the point of no return came incrementally. And I think she may have known where this was all headed long before I did.
Yeah. And your children? They were how old when you...
My kids were probably about 2 and 4, maybe 3 and 5 when this all began. They're now 10 and 12. And so far, they've been almost wholly unaffected by this. And I know that might seem impossible to believe, but remember, I'm still around. I've never gone away. And I'm essentially the person I always was. I'm not the world's perfect parent, obviously, but, you know, mostly on a good day, I'm a lot of fun to be around. And a story I can tell about that shows, I think, the versatility of children is that, oh, somewhere early in the transition, my older son looked at me one day and said, you know, we can't be calling you daddy if you're going to be a girl. It's too weird. And I said, well, you could call me Jenny, because that's my name now. And he said, well, isn't Jenny the name of a lady donkey? I said, well, okay. Well, what do you want to call me? And it took him about a second to say, well, how about Maddie? Because Maddie is like half mommy and half daddy. And, you know, there's a girl in my class named Maddie. We could call you that. And then his little brother said, or Dommy. Well, Dommy didn't stick, but Maddie stuck. And to this day, people, their friends, their teachers, people call me Maddie.
So are you the woman you expected to be?
Gosh, that's a great question. I don't know what I expected. I began this process not knowing where it would take me. But on the other hand, when you're 40, can you imagine what it's going to be like to be 47 or 48? When you're 10, do you know what it's going to be like to be 20? I think the great surprise and the great relief to me is how much I am the same person in almost every way. I mean, the major difference is now not that I'm shaped a different way. The major difference is now I don't have a secret, and I'm not a person who lives in a private world. I now live out in the same world with everybody else, and, you know, I don't have that many secrets anymore, and that's the great freeing thing. It's also true that I now have the thing that everybody else has, which is the ability to wake up in the morning and not think about it, which is the thing I never had, and which is a tremendous, precious gift.
Recently, there's the movie, the Felicity Huffman movie, Transamerica. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have seen that.
Is it good? I mean, from your point of view, is it good?
Yeah, it's really good. Felicity Huffman is fantastic in that, and I wish she'd won the Oscar. I can say, especially the first half of that movie, I really admire, because the issues are issues of family and about how she's learning how to be a mother to a son she didn't know she had. The second half of the movie is more kind of the standard routine, which all these stories always involve the surgery. I know that I'm guilty of that as well, because my book, She's Not There, also has surgery as part of the climactic chapter. But it's true that a transsexual person's life does not peak with surgery, at least if it's going to be a successful life, I should hope. If surgery represents your all-time greatest moment, then in some ways it's all for naught, really. What matters is what you do afterwards. So Transamerica kind of peaks with the surgery, which again makes us associate transsexuality with an operation, which people shouldn't. There are plenty of transsexual people who choose not to have the operation, either because they don't want it, they can't afford it, or they just think it's not necessary.
How have people responded to your story?
This book has found, She's Not There, has found a pretty wide readership. I hope it's not too conceited to note that it was the first best-selling book by a transgendered American. The reason that it found so many readers is not because there's so many transsexuals in the country. I think that what people see in this book is a very familiar story, to their surprise. So, what's familiar? I think what people find is that the questions of how do I live an authentic life is a very familiar question. What will be required of me to do the difficult thing, the thing that seems impossible? How do I find my courage? And if I do undertake that kind of adventure, who will be affected by it? What will be the consequences of my undertaking a journey like that? I think most people don't ask themselves, you know, how do I have a sex change? But everyone asks themselves, or ought to ask the question, what will it take for me to become myself? How will I find the courage that I need to live my life? And in my own experience, I found, in fact, that relatively old-fashioned values like friendship and love and family were exactly the things that I needed in order to undertake this journey. And with those things, you know, as we say in Maine, you can get there from here.
Jennifer Finney Boylan is the author of She's Not There, A Life in Two Genders.